As I sat down to put this commentary together last Wednesday, the outcome of the presidential election was still uncertain. I was left to assume what the outcome would be, and that left me in a bad position as I value my reputation for truth and honesty. If my assumptions about this election are proven wrong, just remember that I had to make those assumptions without all the facts being in. In this modern age, it seems that we should be able to tally the ballots much quicker. The longer it drags out, the more people distrust the system. Why wait to begin counting ballots that are received early? Ann and I voted absentee in North Carolina many weeks ago, as did others. Why not tally those votes as they come in and keep a running total? Surely we can add. Michigan was a tight race when all of a sudden more than 100,000 votes were dumped out and not a single one was marked for President Trump. What are the odds of that happening? The odds are astronomical. When I went to bed at about 2 a.m. Wednesday, 94% of North Carolina's votes had been counted. By 11 a.m., there were only 94% counted. At 11:30 a.m. on Thursday, 94% of the votes had been counted. How does that happen? Did everybody quit counting? What we did find out early was that the incredible amounts of money from progressives pouring into states like South Carolina, North Carolina, and Maine was money wasted. Lindsey Graham was reelected in South Carolina. Tom Tillis goes back to the Senate from North Carolina. And while the presidential race was too close to call Tuesday night, we did get a sigh of relief over the Senate vote. Republicans overcame the media blitz to retain the majority in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell will remain the majority leader. That was extremely important, because if we later find that Joe Biden did win the presidency, the Senate would be the only hedge against the Democrats' socialist agenda. In my home state of North Carolina, the race between Cal Cunningham and incumbent Tom Tillis was extremely close. That's because of the influx of progressives and left coast people who have relocated to our state. Arizona went for Biden over Trump for the same reason. Progressives are fleeing California like rats on a sinking ship, and many of them have settled in Arizona. It also helped Joe Biden when John McCain's widow, Cindy McCain, supported Joe Biden out of her hatred for Donald Trump. On the other hand, Trump won Utah with a wide margin in spite of Mitt Romney's opposition. The margin of Trump's victory in Utah should send a loud signal to Romney that his own Senate seat could be up for grabs in the future by an electorate that does not share his hate for Trump in the Beehive State. There were troubling signs elsewhere in the 2020 election. 5 states relaxed their marijuana laws. Arizona, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, and South Dakota made it legal to use marijuana publicly. It got worse in Oregon. There, the voters decided that shooting up with heroin, inhaling cocaine, and smoking marijuana was something their children should be exposed to. Go figure. It's hard to imagine what's in the drinking water in Oregon, California, and Washington State that makes them so far left. As I began writing this commentary last Wednesday, the states of North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania were all undecided. On Thursday, it appeared that North Carolina will go for Trump. To win the election, Trump had to run the table and take all of the remaining states. The odds of that were not great. As of noon on Thursday, I have to assume that Biden will be the next president. That's sad on many levels. He and his running mate, Kamala Harris, have already shown that they will pursue a radical socialist agenda. Ocasio-Cortez appeared to speak for the Democrat Party when she said that the socialists, including her, would control Joe Biden. That's not a difficult task because Joe Biden has clearly lost much of his mental abilities. It was necessary that his wife, Jill Biden, stand next to him at all campaign stops. It was her job to help Joe remember what state he was in and why he was there. Jill Biden's sharp elbow kept reminding Joe Biden that he was running for president, not the Senate, as he proclaimed on several occasions. After each public speech by Joe Biden, where he did not put his foot into his mouth deep enough to cause regurgitation, Joe Biden went out and did a happy dance. It does seem that Joe Biden wants to be first lady more than her husband wants to be president. After several occasions where Kamala Harris made her own gaffes, the campaign began to use her sparingly. Kamala Harris has the kind of personality that only a mother could love. She is runner-up only to Hillary Clinton as the most disliked personality. The problem for Americans is not the election of Joe Biden to the presidency. It's the inevitable fact that Biden will not last for a 4-year term. By 2040, or rather 2024, Joe Biden will have his wife feeding him oatmeal and changing his TV channels. Their grocery list will include Depends underwear. The Democrat Party knew all about that when it turned down Harris's bid for the presidency. They knew there was no way that San Francisco radical could have won the Oval Office. Instead, with the cupboard bare, they turned to Joe Biden, who had more wasted years in politics than Rip Van Winkle had lost sleep. Rip slept for only 40 years. Biden wasted 47 years. The media covered for Biden's ineptness like a tarp over a baseball diamond on a stormy day. Never in the history of our republic has there been such a cover-up for a politician. Never has there been such hate exhibited towards an individual as there was against Donald Trump. We experienced a 24/7 onslaught of negative news from the mainstream media. Not news, hate. It must be acknowledged that Donald Trump could be his own worst enemy. Democrats and their media allies goaded Trump with negative news, which they knew would cause him to react on Twitter. He had to go to social media to defend against the hate because the mainstream media was aligned against him. Trump's tweets took on an angry tone, and the Democrats used that against him. Donald Trump became a multi-billionaire in the rough and tumble world of New York real estate. There, it was necessary to speak loudly and to carry a big stick. But when it came to politics, Trump was unpracticed in the art of evasion, and that ultimately cost him in the media. For the first time in history, biased reporters like Jonathan Carl and Mary Bruce began to use words like, "Trump falsely claimed such and such." Not once did they say that about Joe Biden, even though Biden made many false claims. The blue wave that Democrats and their media flunkies falsely claimed failed to materialize. The so-called pollsters were exposed as purveyors of faulty research. In summary, Donald Trump was running this race with mountains of garbage on his back, while his opponent, Joe Biden, breezed along, with the media supplying him oxygen at every turn. All of Trump's accomplishments, and there were many, were crushed by an avalanche of negative blame for the coronavirus. Prior to China unleashing COVID-19 upon the world, there was no way that Democrats could unseat President Trump. America was on a roll like never before. There has been speculation that China spread COVID-19 deliberately. That would make sense, if true, because Donald Trump was tightening the screws on China's decades-long abuse of America. In the meantime, Joe Biden was flying his son Hunter into China and Ukraine on Air Force Two and emerging with contracts worth millions of dollars, even though Hunter Biden had no experience in the projects China and Ukraine was paying for. With a win by Biden, the investigations of this nefarious activity will almost certainly come to an end. Hillary Clinton's destruction of emails that had been subpoenaed by Congress will remain buried. The abuses of the Obama administration in enlisting the intelligence community to spy on the Trump campaign will be quietly tucked away in the dusty bins of history. The use of the coronavirus by Biden, Democrats, and the mainstream media for political purposes is inexcusable. This was a worldwide pandemic that was unleashed upon us by China. It spread across the world. Conflicting stories from the Chinese government in the beginning of the crisis caused world leaders, including President Trump, to scramble to find an answer to this pandemic. No Democrat came forward with answers as to how to control COVID-19. Joe Biden stayed hidden in his basement while issuing complaints about how the Trump administration was handling the crisis. During the 2020 election, Biden repeatedly said that he had the answers to COVID-19. But while Americans and the world suffered, Biden kept any answers he might have tucked beneath his hair plugs. In the past, Americans came together to combat a crisis. Those days are gone because the desire to hold power is greater than love of country. I can remember when polio posed a great danger to our people. Nobody blamed the president for that deadly disease. Just like COVID-19, polio was beyond the control of the presidential administration at the time. In the 1950s, poliovirus terrified American families. Parents tried social distancing ineffectively and out of fear. This virus was poliomyelitis, a highly contagious disease with symptoms including common flu-like symptoms such as sore throat, fever, tiredness, headache, and stiff neck and stomach ache. For a few, though, polio affected the brain and spinal cord, which could lead to meningitis, and for 1 out of 200, paralysis. For 2 out of 10 of those suffering paralysis, the end result was death. That percentage was far greater than with COVID-19. After rabies and smallpox, polio was only the third viral disease scientists had discovered at the time. Americans came together to fight the polio pandemic. Democrat Harry Truman enjoyed the full support of Republicans and Democrats. The answer to the polio pandemic caused the Truman administration to flounder from one cause of polio to the other, and yet no one accused Truman of malfeasance, as Democrats and Joe Biden did against President Trump. It was a time before the mainstream media was inundated with biased reporters and networks who saw it as their duty to destroy a duly elected president over false charges of not acting quickly enough. Hate is a very strong emotion and can make the hater overlook even obvious points. Consider that Donald Trump had been adored by Democrats when he supported their causes while a private citizen. Democratic politicians came to Trump pleading for donations in their political races and readily accepted his money. Black Americans like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and the NAACP showered Public Citizen Trump with numerous awards for his help and support in the black community. Then, when Trump announced a run for the presidency, these same two-faced hypocrites decided that Trump was a racist. If so, why did they accept his money? Why did they shower him with awards for his support of the black community for decades? The plain truth is that Donald Trump may be a lot of things, but he's not a racist. There was no basis for that charge. And frankly, the charge of racist is getting old. Anyone leveling a charge of racism against another human being should be made to provide undisputable proof of the allegation. When we start filing lawsuits against those accusing us of being a racist and holding their feet to the fire, these despots will continue the charade. Was there fraud on display in the 2020 presidential election? Given that there has been fraud in every American election for decades, there should be no doubt that it occurred in 2020. For years, the left has made it more difficult to hold an honest election. People are allowed to vote without identifying who they are. Shysters are able to cast votes for people long dead. Despots visit nursing homes to collect ballots from those elderly people who are easily duped. These are just a few of the ways our elections are under attack. It is past time to reform our election process. We have an election day set aside for all registered voters to participate. Allowing people with a valid excuse to cast an absentee ballot is necessary to make sure that those who can't make it to the polling place can have their votes count and are accommodated. But the rules must be tightened. In this day of modern technology, we should be able to verify where votes are coming from and the eligibility of the voter. This voting process is far too important to tolerate the abuses we see in each voting cycle. Those who claim that requiring IDs to verify who someone is discriminatory. That's a blatant lie. Americans need an ID for many things in life. You cannot open a bank account without identification. An ID is required to access food stamps. No one can rent a car without identification. It is not possible to obtain a seat on an airplane without an ID. Are all of these instances discrimination? Blacks and whites are in the same boat when it comes to the need for personal identification. I made no secret of my hope that Donald Trump would be reelected to a second term. I acknowledged all along that the task was almost impossible, given the Democrat lies and the media's spread of those lies. My greatest fear, though, was that Democrats would take control of the Senate, too, and the insane socialist agenda of those surrounding Joe Biden would sail through Congress unimpeded. Thank God the Democrats' desperate attempt to control the Senate failed. Progressives blindly supported the Biden-Harris ticket, even though Biden has nothing to show for his 47 years in Washington politics. Frankly, their attention was not on Biden, but on Kamala Harris, the most radical member of Congress. Muslims and socialists like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Ocasio-Cortez held Biden against the wall and made him agree to their radical agenda before selling him their support. They did not think for a moment that it would be Joe Biden directing America for the next 4 years. It was just a way to position their real choice to take over for Biden when his failing mind expired. Make no mistake, Joe Biden will hurt America by rejoining the Paris Accords, ending fracking, and pushing Ocasio-Cortez's insane Green New Deal, among other socialist causes. But it is really Kamala Harris that the Democrats are counting on for the future. It is her embracing of their socialist agenda that gives them hope. While I had hoped that Donald Trump would be reelected, I take solace in the fact that the American people voted to keep the Senate controlled by Republicans to block most of the socialist agenda the Democrat Party proposes. To those Democrats who voted for Biden-Harris out of their hate for Donald Trump, we can only point out that their hate overrode their common sense and that their 4-year witch hunts against Donald Trump will come back to haunt them. There is little truth and honesty in our country anymore. They've been shoved aside in the pursuit of political power. The American people are caught in the middle of this political war. Our two-party system fails us. When Democrats are in power, Republicans seek to undercut them. When Republicans are in power, Democrats seek to undercut them. In doing so, both parties undercut the American people. Donald Trump accomplished many great things for the American people. He made promises in the 2016 election, and unlike previous presidents, he kept most of those promises. Trump's problem, well, he was not a seasoned politician. He had never mastered the technique of the silver-tongued politicians allied against him. Career politicians are adept at evasive answers. If Trump thought it, he said it. We would be better off if we demanded that from all politicians, Republicans and Democrats. While Democrats accused Trump of lying about everything from COVID-19 to the color of the socks he was wearing on any given day, they embraced the obvious lies from Adam Schiff and other Democrats who suffered from diarrhea of the mouth. The current crop of Democrats are the greatest hypocrites in the history of politics. Let me summarize my thoughts today. I see the election of Joe Biden as a great tragedy, and I truly believe it will not take the American people more than a few months to realize what they have done to the liberty we have enjoyed in this great country. Was Donald Trump perfect? Of course not. Trump is a human being with all of the flaws that brings with it. But there is no denying that Donald Trump loves America and worked hard while donating his salary to charity for the American people. Would Joe Biden even consider following Trump's example and donate his salary to charity? The odds of that happening are about the same as the odds that Maxine Waters will be in a close run for a beauty title. The best news about a Biden victory is that the core of the Democrat base will have to wait another day to do their Christmas shopping. There was never any chance that a Trump loss would evolve into widespread riots, looting, and burnings. There was every reason to believe that a Biden loss would see America on fire again. In fact, we were warned that this low-life element of society was cocked and ready to descend upon our city streets with bricks, torches, and shopping carts. It must be frustrating to the looters to lose this opportunity to stock up on big-screen TVs, refrigerators, and cases of booze as the media hyped their excuses for creating the mayhem. Thank you, President Trump, for giving us all you had to give, for loving this country enough that you would leave a life of affluence and ease to tackle our problems. Unlike Barack Hussein Obama, we will not see Donald Trump on the sidelines undercutting Joe Biden 24/7. I never cared for Obama, and care even less for him after his despicable conduct in this election. It has nothing to do with the color of Obama's skin. If Obama's skin was as white as the first falling snow, it would not change his character. And it is his character, not his skin color, that earned my disrespect. I suspect that we will find fraud in the voting process this go-around, but not enough real evidence to change the results of this election. But life goes on. I will not riot, loot, or burn over the results of this election, even though I am bitterly disappointed. What I will do is keep pressure on the Republicans in control of the Senate to protect us from the radical agenda of the Democrat socialists who are determined to bring America down on its knees and establish equality for all, poverty. Thank you for listening today. This has been a very tough election year. Common sense did not prevail. Hate prevailed. It is incredible to me that such a large number of people in the Democrat Party could suffer from that degree of hate for that long. 4 years of witch hunts to destroy this duly elected American president. It's unprecedented. And I fear that we will see more of this in the future as the media turns more and more socialist and biased. We can only hope that something will happen, that God may intervene and stop this mad dash for socialism. It has never worked anywhere it's been tried. In fact, it has put many people into poverty and doomed them to lives of destruction. Again, thank you for listening. I hope you'll pick up a copy of my book, Drawing Back the Curtain. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time and same station. And God bless America.